it just kept hitting me. And I'd go through there and people would try to explain what this means. And, you know, preachers would get up and say, you know, so-and-so's house burnt down, you know, last week. And they'd come out and say, well, this is going to work together for good because they're going to get saved now. You know, they're going to come into the church, and they're going to give a heart and life to Jesus Christ. They're going to get saved. This is something that works together good. And people were dying. And, you know, here recently we had a 9/11 attack up in New York. I didn't work together for good for nobody but the church. You know, they hurt people. They didn't work together for good. To me, I see things like this, and I say, this don't seem right. To say everything works together for good when it don't look like to me it works together for good. So I got to, and anyway, I had to get over into the Friendly Baptist Church before I could figure out what this was talking about. And this word, me and Brother Donnie Connors one day was heading somewhere, and I told him I kind of want to speak on this here, but I need a little more information on it. I said, you know, about this, everything works together for good. And Donnie said, well, read the rest of the chapter, and it tells you what works together for good. And that's what you have to do in the Bible. You can't take one verse apart from everything else and make a doctrine out of it. But anyway, I kept on reading and studying that, and I said, well, let's go back here and see then. Don said, read this, and it'll tell you what, you know, works together for good. So anyway, we go over here to first verse, chapter 8. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I said, that works good. That works good, huh? Then I kept reading. I said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ have made me free from the law of sin and death. I said, that works good. And I kept reading. I said, what the law could not do, in that it was written through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. That works together, good. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And before we get any further, it says there is no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Does that mean there is condemnation for those who don't walk in the Spirit? Yes, it is. I've been condemned a lot of times in my walk with Jesus Christ. But there's no condemnation if we walk in the Spirit now. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is an enmity against God, which is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. That works together for good. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. If Jesus Christ raised from the dead, then we shall be quickened also. Our bodies will be quickened and changed. That works together. Works together good for me. Sounds good. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. But if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again, that you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That works together for good. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If children of God, then heirs of God, and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. You see, when I get that, I'm not going to read them all. If you read this whole chapter, you'll see a bunch of things that works together for good. And so many years I went through there and I said, wait a minute. I've been a lot of things that didn't seem to work together for good for them that are called according to his purpose. And I had to get to Friendly Baptist Church to find these things. I'm not going to take a lot of time this morning. That's really all I had on my mind. I'm not going to take up a lot of time because I want to be a brother after this morning. And, but all things do work together for good that the Bible tells you work together for good. I hope everybody can understand. Things work together for good that the Bible tells you it works together for good. George the Brothers remarks, right? Always do. Thought this morning how easy it would seem people that's leading the singing. How easy it seems when Brother Ronnie's up here preaching. But when I get up here, it don't seem all that easy. I don't know why that is. I guess it's because it's a whole lot easier to watch and listen than it is to do. The Bible has told us to do some things. When I was called to preach, I'm to do that. And God's children were called, and made them realize that they were children of God, there were some things that they needed to do. Come home, tell what great things the Lord has done for them. Enter in to the things of the church. That you might enjoy what God has left on record. The only way that you'll enjoy the blessings that God has left on record is to do what he has told you to do. I have a subject this morning. I'm going to begin in the 8th Psalm, the 4th verse. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and with honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of the hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. Our Lord, how excellent is thy name. What is man that thou art mindful of him? I believe that God is mindful of every creature that he created, including man. Everything that he created, he's mindful of. But here, I think he's talking about the Son of God as man and as his Son. In human form and is born of God. But he is mindful of every creature that walks upon the face of this earth. He created. Over in the 12th chapter of Luke, 22nd verse, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowl? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature 1 cubit? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take you thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, neither be you of doubtful mind. For all those things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all those things shall be added unto you. And I thought, as I looked upon those things, how many times we have so little faith. But we try to add and add and add to our life by working and striving, and there's a certain amount of work that needs to be done. God told us to do that which is necessary to make a living. But we're to put him above everything else. And I believe
If we walk in those ways that God has told us to walk, honor him as he has told us to honor him, that we'll receive the blessings that he has promised unto us. And he's promised us he would give us these blessings. So as we look upon that, we see today, if you went back to the first part of that 8th chapter, it talked about the things that God had created. And when I began to think about that, I thought about man. To think about all the animals, the trees, and everything that he's created. And so many times we forget to look upon his creation of man. In Genesis, the first chapter, the 27th verse, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." God created us in his own image. God created us. And in the 7th verse it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Of all the things that God created, I believe today that man is the greatest creation that he created. He gave man something that he didn't give the animals and all the other creation. He gave man a soul when he created him. And I've heard many times throughout my life that when we get to heaven, there's got to be some cats and there's got to be some dogs, or what would heaven be like? God never gave these animals a soul as he gave man. And I do not believe that there'll be an animal in heaven. I can't find it in the Word of God. Men were created, and it says it breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Then in one place it tells us when we die that the body goes back to the grave and the soul goes back to God. We're the greatest creation that God created. And so as we look upon that today, we can see how we're blessed of God above all the other creation. And I've told you many times that I can look out here at the trees. I can look at everything that God created. But when I stand before God's people and look upon them, I see the greatest creation that God has made. Because he created them naturally and he created them spiritually, and it shows in their life. There may be some that try to hide what God has done for them. You can't hide it. It shows on your face. It shows on your actions. It shows in your conversation. There are many of God's children that are not in the church, but they are the children of God, and it shows in their life. They may never come to the church, but they'll live with God in heaven in immortal glory after a while. But if they don't come to the church, there are so many things they're going to miss while they're here. God prepared it. God came here. He set up the church for us. And he left all the blessings that he promised us as the children of God if we would do what he's told us to do. And one thing that we're to confess that he is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not in order that we might reach heaven. When he saved us, quickened us, and made us alive, we become the children of God. And if we fail to confess, we'll still live with him in heaven in immortal glory. But we are doing something that is contrary to the teachings of God, and if we do not do what he's told us to do, we're going to miss many blessings. There's some blessings in being in the church. Today, we will sit down here in sometime this afternoon at the Lord's table. There will be the wine that we'll partake of. There will be the bread that we'll partake of. Why? To honor God. He's told us to do that, not to make a showing before man, but to honor him. We do this to show forth his death until he comes again. He's told us to do these things. And if you're not in the church, you can't enter into these things. You won't receive the blessings that there is. I don't feel worthy to partake of these things. I feel it to be the chiefest of sinners of God, among God's people. I feel it to be the very lowest among our preachers. But nevertheless, I want to do what the Lord has told me to do, to show forth His death until He comes again, to honor God. That should be our first thought, to put Him first above everything else, to honor Him in the way that He has told us to honor Him. He has told us to be baptized in His name, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You fail to do that, and you will not receive the blessings that there are in doing those things. If you fail to be baptized, it will not keep you out of heaven, but it will keep you from enjoying these heavenly things that we have while we walk here upon the face of this earth. We come together in peace and love. We come together yesterday, God's people, singing praises unto Him, listening to all these things that was taught. And I made to see the glorious things of God as we were able to hear those things that were taught unto us. What a blessing it is to be able to hear others preaching the gospel, that I might feast upon it. And yes, that I might take some of it and share it with God's people down along the way. While they forgot what Brother So-and-so said a month or so ahead, that I might use some of it to stir up their pure mind, that it might come back to me to stir up my mind. First, children, I want God to stir up my mind, that I might be able to preach His gospel in such a way that it'll stir up the mind of God's children. I can't put a pure mind in you, but being blessed by the power of God to preach these precious things unto you, I'm able to stir up your mind. I'm able to cause you to think upon these things. So many beautiful things to think upon as we look into His Word. Children, we're made to rejoice. Let us go and think about the things what is man, what God has done for man. Children, but most of all, to keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ, who should be first in our life, to see that God has blessed him so much. And as we look at that chapter, let's go back just a little while to that place where I started. And it says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and son of man that thou visit him? For thou hast made him a little lower than angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over all these things that it mentioned." And so he had come here to die upon a cruel and rugged cross for you and for me. That's what he come here for. And he died on that cross. That's why I trust in what I have this morning, because I believe what I have in my heart, in my soul, come down from above. I can't tell you when it come, but it's there. It's something that I'm trusting in. Feel every day of my life. Oh, I know sometimes as things seem to get sort of faded, and I can't see as I sometimes can. Things look brighter sometimes than they do other times. But I'm made to rejoice that you can always feel the Spirit of God working within you. You feel like there's someone to protect you. There's someone to care for you. There's someone to watch out for you when you have to go out here and face the things of the world. And there's so many things to face today. And we don't know what is coming that we might have to face. But we do know in all these things that God said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So I'm made to rejoice in those things. In Ephesians, the second chapter, it says, "And you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and have raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So as we look at that today, we can see how mindful God was of his people. How where his thoughts were, even before the foundation of the world, you were chosen of God. You were chosen. And we're to see today how mindful he is of us. When we look at all the things that God has given us, he hasn't forgotten us. He hasn't forsaken us. Sometimes we might get so far from him we think he has, but when we realize how far we've gone from the teachings of God and return unto these things, we'll see that God's still in the same place he always was. God doesn't leave us. We sometimes stray from his teachings and stray from doing what he's told us to do, and we begin to feel cold. But it's because of our actions and not because of God's faith. So we're made to rejoice this morning that to see these things. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. I don't stand before you and boast of anything today. I have nothing to boast about. I stand before you to uphold this Lord, the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has done so much for me and so much for you. I'm made to rejoice today that God has touched my life and given me the opportunity to stand before his people. These things are not of works, lest any man should boast. I have nothing to boast of. I cannot boast because everything I have come down from God, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. The natural blessings I have come from God. The spiritual blessings I have come from God. And the spirit that I have to preach with comes from God. It must come or I will not be able to preach. I must be able to see some of these glorious old things that God has done for us. I'll go over, I've already read that verse, the 8th verse. That's the one for God so loved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not by yourself, it's a gift of God. And so let us turn to Galatians, the 2nd chapter. Galatians, the 2nd chapter. The 21st. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Where are we looking for Christ today? Where are we looking for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are we looking here and we looking there? He lives in us. He lives in us. By the Spirit of God, he lives in us. Can't you feel the Spirit working within your soul? Can't you feel the protection that God gives unto you? Can't you feel how close he is when you need a helping hand, when you need some care, when you need some comfort, when you need some peace? You find it in Jesus Christ, the Spirit working within you, that he, the comforter that he left here upon the face of this earth while he lived, when he was here, when he went back to sit down on the right hand of God, he said, I'll give you a comforter, and he did. Aren't you thankful today for that great comfort that you feel? We're made to rejoice in these things as we see them. Up above it says, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I thought I through the law am dead to the law, and that I might live unto God. I'm thankful today that we're not under the old Mosaic law. I'm thankful that we don't have to bring in the animals to make sacrifices and all these things that they did back there. Jesus Christ come and made one offer, one sacrifice for you and for me that would take care of us for the rest of our days here on earth and in eternity. Just to think, if you had to bring in all these animals, how much easier it is just to realize that the sacrifice has already been paid for you, already been made. The debt's been paid. You'll not have to pay it. There are men today are teaching God's children that you have to do this and you have to do that. You've got to do something. You've got to get works into it somewhere, or you'll never reach heaven in a mode of glory. Christ says, When he came here, he said, I have finished the work. He finished the work. He finished it for you. He finished it for me. The debt was collected out of the Son of God, and we'll never have to pay it. Aren't you thankful for that today? That our debt has already been paid. We'll live with him in heaven and immortal glory after that, and not a thing has to be done in order for us to live with him. But there's many things that we're to do if we're going to enjoy what God has bestowed upon us while we're here. In these spiritual blessings, we got to use what he's given us. Now, I could close my Bible today and never open it again, and I'll still reach heaven in immortal glory after that. I believe it from the depths of my heart, even though, as the preacher said yesterday, you don't see it perfectly clear. There is something inside that would cause me to believe that I would reach heaven in immortal glory if I never opened this Bible again. But there's something inside that causes me to, gives me a desire to want to stand before his people and tell them how glorious and wonderful it is, the things that God has done for us and what he has left on record for us and the great spiritual blessings that he has left for us, and that we can feel his presence with us. And we'll live with him, but not because of our works, but because of the righteousness of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not the works today, but it's by the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed upon that cross. So we're made to see that he left these things for us as the children of God. In 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, the 16th verse. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? This goes right along with what I've been saying. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in man, for all things are yours. Wherefore, Paul and Apollos and Cephas are the world, or life or death, or the things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God. You are Christ. And you are Christ, and Christ is God. You belong to Christ. You belong to him. He's the one that shed the blood for you. So we belong to him today. And Christ is God. So we, as the children of God, will live in heaven in immortal glory after a while, where the Son of God now sits on the right hand of God, ever make an intercession for you and for me. He sits there, and I've heard some preachers say, he sat there and said, Father, these are the ones that I died for when we sinned. Most of all, he shed his blood for you and for me, and we will live with him. We are already forgiven as far as eternity is concerned. But if we fail to do as God has told us to do while we walk here, we're going to receive some punishment. We're going to be condemned in our own heart. There's going to be something that will condemn us and cause us to see that we've left the teachings of God. These are wonderful things. God has so wonderfully blessed you. And he's given us these things as children of God to take and to use. Not in order to become children of God, but because we are the children of God. John, the 7th chapter, the 38th verse. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The many blessings that Christ has left for us and will have for us shall flow from him. I'm made to rejoice this morning that those blessings that God has for his children flows down from him, comes to us as his children. And we're made to rejoice today that God so wonderfully blesses us in these things. 1 John, the 3rd chapter, the 2nd verse. I'm going to begin reading in the first verse. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Now if we take that from a natural standpoint, we know that we sin every day. We know that as a natural person we sin every day. But that inward man cannot sin. That inward man that Christ saved, called us with a holy calling, that he gave his blood for, that man cannot sin. God does not look upon sin today. Christ stands between us and the Father, ever making intercession for us. That's why he shed his blood, that we might live, that we might live in heaven and immortal glory after life. I look forward to the day when we'll get to go home and live with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm made to rejoice in those things. I'm made to see the great blessings that God has left on record for his people while they walk here upon the face of this earth. I'm made to thank God for the blessings that I get when I'm able to stand before them and tell them what great things the Lord has done for them. How that God has blessed us as the children of God while we live here upon the face of this earth. I'm made to be thankful for the church. I want to turn over to Joshua, beginning in the 24th chapter, the 13th verse, and read a few verses there that always brings something beautiful to my mind. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do you eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. When I think of that first verse that I read, a land which you labored not, and cities which you built not, I think of the church. You live today in the church, and you didn't do any labor. You didn't do anything to get this church, get into this church. It was all done for you. I've given you land for which you did not labor. This church that we have today is made up of all of God's people. And we are in the church. We, the children of God, wherever they might be, it makes no difference whether they're called Methodists, Presbyterians, Primitive Baptists. They're all in the church of God, because Christ came here and he set up the church for his people. He didn't put the denominations' names on them, and he didn't give us all these scattered differences in the denominations, but he gave us the place that we can be thankful for, and that is the church where God's people can live together. They'll not all live together in peace while they're here on the face of this earth. I'm satisfied that they'll never live together, all of them, in peace. But I am satisfied the church of God, every one of his people, will get to heaven in immortal glory after fire, and there'll be no trouble among them. Many times you're asked, well, if you can't get along here, how are you going to get along up there? There won't be any of this discord that we have down here. There won't be any of those separations that we have down here. You've got something to look forward to. So we can see that God is mindful of his people. God has been mindful of his children all down through the ages. God has seen necessary many times to correct his children. When you had little children coming up, you seemed necessary to correct them for their failings many times, or doing what you told them not to do, and God sees the same thing. We as the children of God, but we are still the children of God, we're still loved by him. So we're made to see today that we should strive to live for God, who has so wonderfully blessed us, who's given us all these blessings. All these things that we saw yesterday or heard yesterday, our children, we are made to rejoice in them, that God has so wonderfully given unto us, that your soul might be fed. You know, I get so hungry and so thirsty for these things that I heard yesterday. Many of the different things that I might not even ever think about myself. The preacher needs preaching too, as well as anybody else. The preacher needs to hear the different sermons that go forth, the different declaring these precious truths, to give God the honor and glory for what he has given them. God has given me so much. I owe him so much, and I'm so thankful for the many blessings that I can look upon and see how he has blessed me. Are you looking today on what God has given you? Are you giving God the honor and glory that we should be getting? We're all failing in many ways to give God the glory that we should get. Give God the honor. So let's realize that he is mindful of us as the children of God. Should not our mind be on him? It should be first. He should be first in our life. First above everything else. Realize that everything else comes in line, that God is above everything else. Let us look to him, to guide, to lead us, to direct us, and to look after us while we live here. The doors of the church are open for the reception of members. If there's one or more here who desire home for us, with us, come and let it be known while we sing some good song that the divers will keep, somebody's going to pick out and lead for us.
And great. like to say that we have the minutes of the Little River Association here. I've had one of them. We also have sample copies of the Gospel Field. We'd like to have one of those.
Sure.
I want me to police it. SPCA figure.